We all define success a little differently, person to person. Some of us want to be rich. Some of us don't care so much about the money. We just want peace and quiet and maybe a beach on which to enjoy it. Whatever we aim for, today's guest has some ideas on how to achieve the goals we set. Greg S. Reed is a filmmaker, a motivational speaker, an author, and CEO of several companies. His book, Stickability, The Power of Perseverance, is the latest offering from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And we're happy to welcome Greg Reed to the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you very much. Hi, Jeffrey. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. We learn right from the start in the book. I mean, who knew that the first self-help book was called Self-Help?
Who'd have thunk it, huh?
Really?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And there is a phrase coined in there, or at least a word called stickability. It's the power of perseverance, having that stick-to-itness. And that's what we decided to write an entire book on.
So who wrote the book Self-Help, and when was that?
Oh, that was Waddles way back in the day. But I got to tell you one thing moving forward here is Napoleon Hill wrote a classic book called Think and Grow Rich. Most people know that as the 20th best-selling book in the history of the world. And in there, he really brought that word to the forefront where people started asking, what does it mean? And it's actually been coined in the dictionary, so it actually has its own terminology today.
The word stickability?
Yeah, stickability.
Really?
And it is the power to persevere, and that's hence the subtitle of the book.
Now, Napoleon Hill wrote his book back in the 30s, was it?
Yeah, he actually published it in 1937. And I got to tell you, he went for a 15-year mission because he was turned down from every single publisher in New York before it actually hit the streets. People said, man, if Aristotle and Socrates couldn't figure out the definition, the blueprint, so to speak, for success, you know, what makes a 23-year-old magazine reporter do it? And from there, obviously, we know someone finally believed in him. It came out and has changed the planet, which we know.
So that's interesting. So he definitely demonstrated the power of perseverance himself with all those rejections, finally getting his book published. Who were the people that Napoleon Hill learned from? I mean, how did he compile the lessons that he put into Think and Grow Rich?
Well, it began, he got a meeting with the richest guy of the world, Andrew Carnegie. It would be like, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Oprah put together. And it was supposed to be a 30-minute interview for a magazine article. And turns out to be 3 full days and 3 full nights. At the end of the meeting, Carnegie says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to work for free for 20 years. He goes, I'll write you a letter of recommendation to meet all of my friends. He sat down with Edison and Einstein and Ford, Alexander Graham Bell, the Rockefellers, and picked their brains to create what we know as the first ever formula for success. And it was really interesting because at that time, he just went to go find out exactly what they did for to find a life of sustained abundance. And from there, he wrote that into the, as we know, the 20th best-selling book of all time.
So he set up the Napoleon Hill Foundation, I'm guessing, before he passed on.
Correct.
And so this is where the books continue to crank out, like Stickability, The Power of Perseverance.
Yeah, actually, W. Clement Stone helped formulate this foundation, put up the first $500,000, and the whole idea was to protect the teachings and to keep the movement going long after his legacy had ended. And we realized that, boy, that book has sold, according to many different things, over 100 million books worldwide, and has been credited for creating more millionaires than anyone else. But when I was tapped to help carry on this tradition, I did not want to do it about success and prosperity and how cool people are. I wanted to do it about adversity. I wanted to do it about quitting. I wanted to do it about what I needed help with. A great author writes about what they need help with, and I've been a great quitter. So the whole idea is I wanted to meet today's top iconic figures to find out what they did to persevere so I could start doing it too.
What have you quit then? I mean, what was when you say you're a quitter, what have you quit from?
Let me see. I've quit sales. I quit marriage. I quit marketing. I quit my business. I've quit. When things got tough, I used to run and hide like a lot of people do. I realized first there's a dream, and then there comes challenge, and then comes victory. Unfortunately, most people, including me, would always quit through the challenge. So what I wanted to do is go meet these people to find out how they stuck to it. And from there, I mean, I've been on a 5-year mission. I got to tell you right now, I'm no longer a quitter because I realize that the most successful people, what they did to find their own definition of what stickability meant to them.
Greg, you start the book Stickability with a reference to the infomercials that talk about the sudden riches. Invest in real estate and you'll be a millionaire by the end of the year, whatever, whatever the claims happen to be. So how is what you're talking about different from that?
Well, I actually make kind of a mockery of that, because when the irony things is the first thing they teach you on those infomercials is how whatever you buy will fold up so nice and neat and go into your closet or underneath your bed, because that's where they're going to end up. You know, 99% of stuff we buy is never really used. And I realize, because people get you excited about their dream rather than find what's important to you. And all it comes down to is most successful people find something called commitment, where other people are just interested. And there's a big difference. If I open a brand new restaurant because I'm interested in it, it's a hot trend, well, as soon as it, you know, has challenges, I might fold up the shop. If I take over the family Italian restaurant that's been around for 8 generations, well, when I have challenges, I might stick it through because I'm committed to pass it on to my kid. There's a huge difference, and it's the people that are really committed to their dream, those are the ones that come out on top.
Commitment to Your Dream, The Power of Perseverance. We'll talk more with Greg Reed about his book, Stickability. It's part of the Think and Grow Rich line of books from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Greg Reed will come back and talk with you here on the Jefferson Exchange in just a bit. Let me remind you, as we head to this break, of course, it is Fall Fun to Drive 2013 here on all three services of Jefferson Public Radio. It's not that we're trying to think and grow rich. We're just trying to keep doing what we're doing here. But give us a call with your pledge of support as soon as you can, 888-552-6191, 888-552-6191, or pledge online at ijpr.org, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. Back with Greg Reed and you in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Greg S. Reed, motivational speaker, author, filmmaker, CEO. His latest book is called Stickability, The Power of Perseverance. It's part of the offerings from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Napoleon Hill, the publisher in 1937 of Think and Grow Rich. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about sticking to the dreams you have. 800, no wait, can't use that phone number today, sorry, 541-552-6782 works for everybody. If you live outside Jackson and Josephine counties, it's 1-541-552-6782, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Greg, you make reference pretty early in Stickability to the power we possess. What is the basic power we all possess?
Well, it's the power of our own thought process. It is, you know, a lot of people can't control a lot of the environments and the things that happen to them, but you can handle how you handle your adversities, how you handle your positive things. The fact is, we learn more about someone's character on their one bad day than on all their good days put together, because it's easy to be happy-go-lucky when things are going your direction, but when things hit the fan, that's where you see how someone's true character, how they'll behave. And so the realities are, the only thing that we really truly have control of is our mind.
So in a sense, you and Napoleon Hill both wanted to focus on failure to understand success.
Well, yeah. So many people always talk about, you know, do this and you'll be successful, do that and you'll have great prosperity. Napoleon Hill had a talk show one time, and he's talking about what the three causes of failure are. Says if you do these three things, you're guaranteed not to succeed. And basically said if you have the inability to get along with other people, if you're abrasive or what have you, then chances are you're not going to create the alliances that most people would crave. Says also if you procrastinate, you put off what you've been thinking about, well, chances are you're not going to have your dreams come true. But ultimately, if you quit, I mean, it's impossible to have any success if you gave up on your dream too early. And so this book really does a deep dive into people that have been successful and never let another person or themselves talk them out of their dream.
So again, the three main causes: you don't get along with people, you quit when things get hard. Number three, though, is procrastination. But how do you find that line between putting things off because you're not quite ready and procrastination?
Well, it's like anything else. When you're ready to do something, there's never a perfect time. The best time to do something is when you have the idea. And then it's the concept to work your strength and hire your weakness. It means bring on alliances that have expertise outside your own, and that's what all these great people did. None of them really knew all the answers of exactly how they're going to do it. What they did is they had a dream, a mission, started moving toward it, and looked for unexpected opportunity, people that they could bring on to help them see their dream come true. I'll never forget, you know, interviewing Gene Landrum in here. No one knows his name, but you'll know the business he created. he wanted to bring a rat into the restaurant business. Everyone said he was crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they go, how in the world are you going to do that? You know, we've been trying to keep rats out of the restaurant business. Finally, one person believed in him, the founder of Atari, wrote a $1 million check to open the first business, and that went on to become Chuck E. Cheese. And it says, where one person only sees an obstacle, other people see opportunity. And that's what this book focuses on.
You know, honestly, I thought up until now that Chuck E. Cheese was a mouse.
Well, there you go.
But you know, you made a rat the star of a franchise there and ended up getting quite successful with that, too.
A little bit. I think the mouse you're thinking about is another big franchise.
Right, down the road.
As I said,
exactly. Both Southern California creations here.
And that's what's so neat about this journey, man. It's like I got to sit down with Marty Cooper, you know, founder, the guy who invented this cellular phone. And I asked him, I says, you know, what does stickability mean to you? And he says, there's a fine line between stickability and stubbornness. And he says that stickability has to be parallel with another word called flexibility. He says, if you're not willing to adapt, if you're not willing to adjust, you'll end up being stuck. And I just found that to be so true, because sometimes we need to look for that unexpected opportunity to adjust our surroundings so we can have the success that we desire.
So Marty Cooper, as the inventor of the cell phone, I mean, one of the fun things about this story is not just the process he went through, but what he did with it. His first call when he went out to the street, who did he call?
His main competitor. The whole idea was kind of a neener moment, I guess, so to speak. And what was interesting, though, the whole concept of Marty Cooper is I love the example we use about stickability and flexibility. We talk about the spider monkey. Do you mind if I share that story?
Please.
Yeah, the spider monkey in the rainforest is the most quick, nimble creature. People couldn't harpoon it. Spirit catch it. It's just too quick. One hunter named San Juan figured it out. He took a giant, heavy log and drilled a tiny hole inside. He dropped the peanut in that hole and left it at the base of the jungle. The monkey would smell it, come down from the treetop, reach his hand inside the hole, grab a hold of the nut, and his fist would become so big, he'd become stuck, anchored. He couldn't pull it back out. The hunter would come by an hour later, hit him over the head, and capture the elusive spider monkey. Now, all he's got to do is let go and pull his hand out to live to fight another day, but that monkey thinks that nut is nutrition is saving him. The moral is, are we holding on to our own nut? But it's in the shape of a bad relationship or fear or guilt or a bad job or a car or a house. And we think that it's saving us, but right now it's leading to our own demise. Sometimes we have to have the courage and fortitude to simply let go and adjust and adapt so we can live to fight another day.
Yeah, they truly were not flexible, the spider monkeys. It's like, no, I have to have this peanut. And yet, you know, it ended up being their own demise. So I guess the message here is don't hold the reins too tightly.
Well, exactly. The old 38 special song, right? Hold on loosely. And it seems to be so true. I mean, the harsh realities are if we get so committed, so stuck on the exact plan of action, we're going to fail. I'll give you an example. I interviewed for a different book the guy who started the little restaurant chain called Chick-fil-A. And I said, what's the definition of success to you? And he says, don't plan. And I says, well, that goes against everything we've all learned. And he goes, last year you made a lot of plans. I go, yeah. He goes, how did that work out for you? And he goes, look for unexpected opportunity. He goes, if I want to get to the end of the street and that's my goal, I have to get off my backside and move to that direction. Where a planner is going to plan every step or they're going to pause and take a break, I'm going to look for opportunity. Did a kid leave a skateboard or a bicycle out and make my journey shorter? He goes, if I get real lucky, I'll wave down a neighbor and hitch a ride to the end of the street. He goes, either way, I got stickability. I'll get to my goal. I'm just not so caught up in exactly how it has to happen.
Okay, so maybe they're not plans, but do you at least need to lay out general concepts? I mean, you have a direction you want to go. You have a dream you want to achieve, so there have to be steps indicated along the way, don't there?
Yeah, it's called a strategy. So there's a big difference between plan and strategy. So the whole thing is, there's an old cliche. It says, you know, if you want to make God laugh, you know, tell him your plans. But the realities are we have to have a strategy to make it happen, but understand that that strategy will change. Same way as we know the cliche, if an airplane takes off from California to go to Hawaii, it makes over 1,000 course corrections along the way. Well, that's the way life is. You know, you have to have a strategy where you know you're going, but the reality, understand that the plans might change. The weather might have different currents or, you know, it could be rainstorms and you have to fly around it. That's the way life really works. So the concept is that have your crystal clear picture of what you want, but be willing to adapt along the journey.
I guess what that takes is a pretty good level of interpretation at speed. In other words, being able to interpret the things that come along as possibilities, not as obstacles.
Jeffrey, that's great. I'm going to write that one down. That was awesome. It's exactly dead on.
All right. Let's see. Ron Klein, he's another example of somebody in the book. What did he do?
Well, Ron Klein, as you know, and by the way, I love the way you set these up. Nice softballs. It was pretty cool. People that don't know how radio works, he's doing an awesome job kind of setting all these little questions up in a little T-ball for me. And it also reminds me, because Ron Klein is one of my dear friends who invented something that we all use every day, at least my wife does. It's called a credit card magnetic strip. Imagine how it's changed personal computing as we know it. Imagine without an ATM machine or anything else. And what happened is he found something called necessity is the mother of all invention. So back in the day, they would give, like Macy's would give a credit card with raised numbers on there. And when you go buy your product, they would go through this giant list of numbers to see if that number was on there. If it wasn't, you were good to go and you could leave. And he wanted to make it a simpler fashion. Reel-to-reel tapes were out at that time, so he took a little bit of that tape, impregnated a number on there, and then created a reading system that you could just slide through and see if the number came up. Well, that's what he came up with, and that's also why when you put your card into the ATM machine, you have to pull it out real fast because it mimics the speed of the reel-to-reel tape that happens to be on the back of the card.
You know, I often thought that was very much like recording tape. It looks like videotape on the back there, sure.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. Even the rocket scientists that I interview are not rocket scientists. Everyone's simple people. All they did is they see a challenge and they look for a solution. You know, again, there's a dream, then there's challenge, then there's victory. Most people quit through the challenge. One of the new projects I've been working on is called Offspring of Thought, meaning how one person has an idea and it has that ripple effect. How many of us have a great idea in a shower, walk out, and forget about it? Other people walk out and change the world. Or even worse, you have that great idea, do nothing with it, and 10 years later see someone else come out with it and get all the credit. So what I wanted to do is find out what makes certain people take that action. And to me, it comes down to, again, that commitment level.
Greg Reed is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Stickability, The Power of Perseverance. It is put out by the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And Napoleon Hill, of course, the author of Think and Grow Rich back in the 1930s, the number 20 best-selling book of all time?
That's what they claim to be. It's sold over 100 million copies and credited making over a million millionaires.
You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. One phone number to give you today, 541-552-6782. Outside the Rogue Valley, add a 1 to that, 1-541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Say, here's my question. When I was a young man, which I'm not anymore, I had a friend who was very, very successful by his standards and by probably most people's standards, and he went on to be that way all his life. But he told me one day that the secret to success was being willing to pay the price to get where you want to go. And he said to me that most people either won't pay the price, can't pay the price, or just don't have the guts to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered what you thought about that and how that would fit in with perseverance.
All right. Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate it. Greg?
Yeah, great, Dennis. Here's the bottom line. If you say that you want something and don't have it, just means that you don't want it bad enough. That's it. Because the reality is everything is attainable as long as you're willing to exactly pay that price. You know, one of my dear friends is Ruben Gonzalez. He just broke the Guinness Book of World Records. He's the first guy to compete in four different Olympics in four different decades. And he's not good. He's just really, really old, right? And what he did is he got picked last for PE his whole life and sees Scotty Hamilton win a gold medal. And he says, man, if he could do it, I could do it too. I'll be in the Olympics. I just got to find a sport. So a 21-year-old chubby little kid picks the luge. He goes, I'll find something. Everyone starts, breaks every bone, and they quit. I'll start, break every bone, and not quit. And so a Hispanic guy from Texas picks this thing at late in life and sure enough goes to camp, and everyone goes down, breaks their bones, and goes off. He just climbs back up the mountain, tightens himself up, and does it again, and basically rides the attrition rate to success, just breaking the Guinness Book of World Records. The realities are we can do pretty much anything we want as long as we put our mind to it and then incorporate the assistance of other people that have expertise outside our own to help that dream come true.
Back to Ron Klein, the guy who figured out the magnetic strip for the back of credit cards. Some of his advice sounds just a bit counterintuitive, because one of the things he talks about is this idea of not holding your ideas too close to the vest, being willing to share them with other people, which I think most of us walk around thinking, oh, no, we have to keep these little secrets to ourselves until we are ready to explode them upon the world.
Yeah, Marty Cooper said the same thing. In fact, all the greatest inventors I've ever spoken to have said the same thing. They go, it's not about that, you know, copyright, trademark, blah, 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 blah. He goes, most people are just too lazy to do anything. People are so worried about people stealing your idea, but they're too lazy to do it even if they had it. That's why most ideas never get done in the first place. And he goes, so by asking people their insight or their counsel, that's where you get great feedback, and that's where you can make your course adjustments. And understand this, there's a big difference between opinion and counsel. Opinion is usually based on ignorance, lack of knowledge, inexperience, they've never done it. Counsel is based on wisdom, knowledge, mentorship. They've paved the way. If you go to someone who's never written a book and say, I'm going to write one, your friends or family might say, you can't do that. Why not? I don't know. You just can't. Well, that's their opinion because they've never done it. If I go to Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, and say, I'm going to write a book, he's going to say, before you get started, here's what you need to know and give me counsel. The difference between Ron and Marty and all these people is they sought counsel, people that had expertise that could give them great insight. They didn't listen to people's opinions.
Well, so then among the four steps to stickability is close your mind tightly against all negativity. So what you're talking about is yes, ignore the people who just are talking about opinions. If they've got constructive criticism based perhaps on past experience in this zone, they're giving you counsel. That's what you should be listening for.
Well, what you just said is nowhere in PMA, positive mental attitude or personal development, does it say to avoid or get rid of negatives. I disagree 100% with people that think that. In fact, my mentor wrote a book called Illuminate, and there's these old dancing bears that says you've got to accentuate the positive, and it says eliminate the negative. He says it's the opposite. Accentuate the positive and illuminate the negative. As soon as you can put a spotlight on something, that's when you can deal with it and get it out of the way. So if I've got, you know, a pimple on my nose and I go for a date, knock on the door, as soon as she comes, I'm going to say, hey, let's get this out of the way. I got a pimple. You laugh at it. You get out of the way. You don't have to hide it or be embarrassed. The bottom line is the same thing if, God forbid, you have a melanoma. You can't just put a Band-Aid over it and say, I got positive mental attitude, it'll go away. You got to put a spotlight so you can deal with it. Well, that's what these great innovators did. They went to people with counsel and said, hey, here's my challenge. What should I do? And by having that spotlight, they changed the world.
Let us take a call. Here's Ray in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Greg Reed. His book is Stickability.
Good morning. Hey, I agree 100% as in my life and a lot of people that I know, and I use the word tenacity, but I think it can overcome just about everything else that someone has standing in their way, from, you know, intelligence to handicaps and different things like that. But I was curious of your author whether or not Napoleon Hill used that Victorian book, As a Man Thinketh, as a guide, or if your author has heard of that. And also, there's a great saying by Bull Halsey from the Navy in World War II that there are no great men, there are only great challenges, and ordinary men rise to the occasion to meet those challenges.
Huh, good questions. Thanks for that, Ray.
Yeah, those are great questions. I think As a Man Thinketh is one of the greatest books ever written. So I believe that every person listening to this, if you've never picked that up, highly recommend you do just that. And the concept comes down to is, you know, thoughts become things. The realities are thoughts backed by action become things. Because if thoughts became things, I'd be a woman, right? Because I think about women all the time, so that's not reality. So it's the thoughts backed by action become things. And I realized that ordinary men can do amazing things as long as they incorporate the help of people that have expertise outside their own. For example, when I wanted to be a best-selling author, I didn't go to some knucklehead that never wrote a book. I went to Barnes & Noble and bought every number one bestseller. I called those people up and said, will you teach me? When I wanted to become a public speaker, I went to Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Dennis Waitley, all the great leaders, and said, will you teach me? When I want to become a business person, same thing applied. And I realized that the most successful people are also the most available people. The most successful people are also the most available. And I know it sounds strange, but it's true. If you're brand new at something, you're happy-go-lucky, you're fresh, you're new, you're cool. If you're at the pinnacle, the top of your field, you're happy-go-lucky, you got nothing to prove. If you're in the middle, pain in the neck because you're filled with ego. You're edging God out. You're finding your own voice. So I realized that people could literally cut to the front of the line of people that have got the greatest expertise, and their life would change accordingly. I mean, I'm a regular guy, got a D in English, and here I am writing international best-selling books around the world because I got great ghostwriters and copy editors, people that had expertise outside my own. And that's, to me, the secret of all success.
Greg S. Reed is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Stickability, The Power of Perseverance, following in the footsteps of Napoleon Hill and his Think and Grow Rich of many years ago. We'll come back and talk more with Greg and take your phone calls and emails as well. And a reminder, too, that this is Fall Fun to Drive time here on JPR, specifically New Member Friday. So a new membership at the $45 level or above brings in a $25 pledge as well from our friend Peter Sage. You can make that call of support at 888-552-6191, 888-552-6191. Or pledge online at ijpr.org. Back here on the Jefferson Exchange with Greg Reed and your phone calls and emails when we return to the exchange in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Greg S. Reed, author, CEO, filmmaker, motivational speaker, and his latest book is called Stickability, The Power of Perseverance, authorized by the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich back in the 1930s. The foundation continues in his footsteps, and we can continue the discussion with your participation. Join us on the exchange at 541-552-6782. If you're outside the Rogue Valley, it is 1-541-552-6782. If you're thinking, where's the 800 number? Well, we lost that line for the duration of the fund drive, so we'll get that back. Yeah, but we can take your calls on that one line again, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Greg, there's obviously a discussion not just in your own life, but in the lives of the people you profile as well. They got a lot of information from a lot of people. In your pursuit, you don't necessarily have to name names here, but was there anybody who had achieved great success and you said, I want to learn from you, who said, buzz off, Junior?
Yeah, it's like anything else. You know, there's a great quote that says, you never beg a person to give them a compliment or money. So the very few people that turned me down, I just accepted that and moved on because I didn't try to beg them or chase them down to try to give them a compliment or put a spotlight so I can get on national radio and tell their story and make them a spotlight. So it makes no sense. And I realized that, you know, one of the greatest missions along there is that the people that spoke to me were the right people that I needed to speak to. And they're also the heroes that I've always wanted to talk to. Imagine going knees and knees with the guy who invented string theory and, you know, changed space as we know it, or Peter Diamandis, who started the XPRIZE and started, you know, civilian space exploration. The guy who invented the credit card, all the way to the guy who invented the cell phone. These are people that have always inspired me, so it's just been a blessing and an honor to sit down and pick their brain.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Peter Diamandis, because this is kind of a funny story that you relate in the book, this whole thing about promising a $10 million prize. Did he have the $10 million when he first talked about this?
He did not have two nickels to rub together. And people that don't know the XPRIZE, here's the thing. He was up on stage, and he created something called Above the Line of Super Credibility. You see, up on stage with him at that time was the people that walked on the moon, the Lindbergh family, all these amazing people from NASA. And he walks through the microphone and sits there and says, I'm creating an XPRIZE. Whoever can take a civilian human being and launch him to space and return him safely to Earth and do it twice within a few weeks to prove it wasn't a fluke, I'd give $10 million. Everyone goes to their feet. They chant his name. They applaud him. Well, no one questioned him because he was on stage with all these amazing people. But literally, he had no money to his name. So he went to the insurance agency. You know, if you ever do those golf tournaments and you get a hole in one, you get $1 million. Well, what happens is you put up like 10 grand because the odds and statistics of hitting that is next to nothing, and then they give $1 million insurance policy. Well, that's what he did. He went to those same people and said, hey, put up $10 million, I'll just put up a percentage of that because this is what's going to happen. Well, that the insurance guys go to NASA and they go to all the different places and say, is it even possible for a civilian to do it? And they said, absolutely not. So naturally they put up the money. Well, wouldn't you know it, right before Peter was getting ready to actually make that happen, that insurance company calls him and says, will you take $5 million to call this off? And he goes, heck no, because he knew finally by surrounding himself with the right folks, that dream did come true.
And there was an interesting crossing, though, self-directed people who tended to move in somewhat different circles. But Peter Diamandis and Anoushe, who's she, and how did they hook up?
She came from Iranian wealth, and she created her own empire of her own. Her and her husband do great philanthropy work, and she was the first female, civilian astronaut to go into the space station, and she's the one who actually helped put up the money to go ahead and have the money to offset the insurance so to make that mission come to life. And it's one of the coolest things about all these people is, again, there's a dream and then there's challenge and victory. All these people had the dream, they had their challenges, but they kept staying with it. They did not give up. They were committed to it until that dream came to fruition. And, it's what that common theme. And also the other common theme is that these people had something called the knowing. See, not the belief, the hope, the wish. Hope is not a strategy. They knew in their heart of hearts that they were on to something special, whether other people believed it or not. And they didn't let other people or themselves talk them out of that mission.
Let us take another call. Mara Lee in Applegate. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Greg Reed. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, there's a few questions going on at once. I started out with one and moved on to another. But so my question is, first of all, the first question was, if you think you have a dream and you don't go after it, it may not have been what you were supposed to be doing in the first place. That's how do you know which is a dream and which isn't? And then also that part to that is, fast forward X number of years, and we are now getting older, and whether we're retired or not, we still have some inkling of a dream. And we see that we're actually putting a little bit of purchase on it. We're actually seeing a little toe in the door, but we're scared because we have rejected things in the past, and we tend to get so fearful about certain things that maybe when we were younger we had more energy or something like that. But that's part of my question is when do we go after it and when do we just cut back and say, I'm just too old for that. But then there's another part to it, which is when is the situation where we've accomplished something great time to shift and cut back?
All right. So basically when to pull the trigger is what we're talking about here, isn't it? I mean, when to do it, when to hold back. So Mara Lee, thanks for that. And Greg, what do you say?
Well, Napoleon Hill had a great quote. He says, the timing will never be just right. The best time to take action is right now. And I always say it's the best thing that we can do is get rid of a bad case of the one size. A bad case of the one size means I'm going to take action once I get the kids out of the house, once I get that big break. The best time to take action is the moment you feel it. The realities are we're only on this big spinning rock for a very short, minute period of time. That's it. There's no testing or passing through. And the realities are it's our duty and obligation to make the most of that time that we have on this big spinning rock. At least that's my belief. And since you asked my belief, that's where I come from. And personally, I feel that, so many people have given their lives from all wars and all missions to us to have the opportunity and freedom to be able to go do what we want to do, that we owe it to them to at least give it a shot. I mean, how many people have been in a foxhole so that we could sit there and give our opportunities and say, hey, I'm scared to go start that new business? Well, they're afraid to even put their head up out over the ground. And the realities are, I think we owe it as a species, as a country, to give this the best opportunity to give that mission, that dream, at least a chance to live.
Some of the things that Mara Lee talked about get into the concept of fear, and fear does get its own chapter in Stickability. Can fear be a good motivator?
Of course, because fear is what keeps us safe. But understand this, that our biggest fear that we have, period, is the fear of criticism about what other people think of us. So if I'm walking down the street in Wisconsin, and I know no one in Wisconsin, as soon as I trip over a curb, I'm going to look up to see who saw me. And the funny thing is we care so much about what other people think, that's usually our biggest stopper, whether it's friends, family, or even ourselves. So the whole thing, again, for myself, is to get rid of a bad case of the one size and just take action. Because the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen, should not be something that holds us back, because almost all people that have ever been interviewed on their deathbed have said, what do you regret most in life? The answer is always the same. I wish I would have taken more risk. I wish I would have left it on the table. Not that I wish I would have worked more. Not that I wish that I had a nicer car. It's wish I would have taken more chances.
Interesting, though, that among the fears you list, and I don't know if they're in priority order or not, but fear of poverty is first.
Yeah, well, Napoleon Hill really went off on the fear of poverty. I mean, he really thought that that was what it all came down to. You know, so many people want more. And if you think about it, in magazines and all the news shows and whatever, they show so much people's opulence and abundance. And I don't know if poverty, you know, everyone's got a different definition of it, but I think people just want security. And that's what happens, just like Mary Lee was talking about. You get a little sense of security. Things are going good. You don't want to rock the boat. And so many people are afraid to take that risk because they might lose it all. And the fear of loss is what we're really talking about. The fear of losing outweighs the benefit of gain. The fear of loss outweighs the benefit of gain. I'll give you an example. Be a good God-fearing Christian doesn't have as much benefit as, you know, do what's right or burn forever in hell, right? The fear of loss outweighs the benefit of gain. Be a good, you know, citizen and drive the speed limit and don't get in a car accident isn't as bad as get a ticket and your insurance rates go up. Unfortunately, the fear of loss is what motivates most people when the benefit of positivity gain is the ones that motivate the great leaders.
Okay, but that fear of poverty one's a big one because that's the one that's going to make people make sure, well, I really can't devote that much money to this that I know I can do because I need to keep this money for the other stuff that might come along.
Might come along. And the reality is I can't tell people what they do. I'm not a financial advisor, but I do know this. All the greatest people that I've interviewed in a way that I do it for myself and my personal life is that I'd rather go ahead and live it all in the life. The whole thing is it's live full, die empty. Live full, die empty. And so for myself, I just give it everything I've got. Yes, I create nest eggs. Yes, I save. Yes, I do all those things. But I'm also willing to go ahead and give myself a little bit of risk, take my foot off first base so I can get to second base. I'm willing to get up to the plate. And that's what these amazing people have done as well.
The book is called Stickability, The Power of Perseverance. Greg Reed is its author and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today, following in the footsteps of Napoleon Hill and his Think and Grow Rich of the 1930s. Greg Reed, thanks so much for taking time to join us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, it's been an absolute blast. And if there's anything I can ever do to add contribution back, just give me a call. The answer is yes.